Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Family in Christ, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Worldview Matters. I heard that more people are listening and downloading the audio than actually watching the podcast. So shout out to you guys coming to your ears right now. But we've got a great guest today, Tim Moore with Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're going to get to him in a minute. The website, ChristInProphecy.org. ChristInProphecy.org. I need to tell you about the Worldview Matters Conference. Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 12 speakers, 15 sessions, 2 Q&As, 2 full days, and there's less than 100 tickets left, 100 seats left, less than 100 seats left. So we're a month out, May 1st and 2nd. If you're interested, I need you to go check that out. The details are at the website, worldviewmattersconference.com. And I want to shout out to a few new sponsors. Thank you guys for coming on board. First, Alpha Omega Gold. Thank you. They're a Christian-owned and operated company, and they are all about the biblical worldview. There's their website, and I believe it is, let me pull that up, AO.gold. AO.gold, Alpha Omega Gold. They're on board with the biblical worldview. Who else? Well, our friend Brad Reeves, Pastor Brad from Maryland. He's with Crossway Christian Fellowship. If you go down to the bottom of our website for the conference, all the sponsors are listed. Jeff, yeah, give that a quick peek. There it is. And we've got more if you scroll down. But over at Crossway Christian Fellowship, that's out in Maryland, we thank Brad Reeves for coming on board. And scrolling down to the bottom left corner, Coming Soon Ministries, right next to Wisconsin Christian News. So thank you guys so very much. Thank you to major sponsors, Harbingers Daily, and Creative Edge, Freedom Project Academy, and the Family Radio Network. God bless you guys. Thanks for your support. We couldn't do it without sponsors and partners, and we couldn't do it without your prayers, and of course, those who want to come. Great time of year to come to Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. So that's it. Let's go to Tim Moore, I was looking at Lamplighter, Lamb and Lion Ministries. Tim, good to see you, brother. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, David, thank you for having me today. It's a great joy to connect via modern technology and talk about all things related to a biblical worldview and some of the things going on in our world today.
It sure is. And I love what you guys do at Lamb and Lion and Christ in Prophecy. I love your programs. I love your content. We are going to talk about the Lamplighter magazine that you guys put out, and about we're talk about the church age in a little bit. But first, we've got I'm excited to talk about your devotional and journal. It's a combination, from what I understand. It's called High Flight on Eagle's Wings. There it is. And it's from Lamb and Lion Ministries, the website ChristInProphecy.org or LambLionResources.com. It's right there. Tell us about that, because I like the idea of a devotional, but you know, there are thousands of devotionals, but this is a journal as well. Tim, tell us how this works.
Well, basically, over the years, since I have become director of Lamb and Lion Ministries, every week I put out what I have called a more musing, just some thoughts that kind of keep our staff, and I share it with our board, and sometimes a handful of others get a copy of that, but to kind of focus on what's going on in the world relative to our ministry and how we can be impactful. And little known to me, my creative design leader was collecting all of those musings and eventually came and said, I'd like to put this together in the form of a devotional because I think they would have great poignancy. And so I said, all right. We expanded some of them because sometimes they were fairly short. Other times they were a little bit longer. So for the right size, I came back through with her and edited them to share some personal stories, but really always applying scripture to situations that I've encountered. Some of them are common to many people, and to try to give an encouragement. And of course, we take from the passage in Isaiah that those who trust in the Lord will lift up as with eagle's wings. In other words, soar high. And as a former Air Force pilot and someone who has spent a lot of time at 35,000 feet, I know what it's like to be able to see the world from a whole different perspective. And essentially, as I describe in the book, you kind of get a God's eye view. as we refer to it in aviation, because you're looking down and not really bound by some of the day-to-day plodding along in this life, when you can kind of get up and change your perspective. So that was my goal. And these devotionals are an effort to encourage people and to really lift their eyes as they rise up on eagle's wings.
I love how you describe that too on the website. Encourage believers to rise above the challenges of life through renewed faith and steadfast hope in Christ. And it also says that you can reflect, you can use it as a source of encouragement, you can journal. That's a unique aspect to this, Tim. I believe a lot of devotionals don't have that space for writing thoughts based on what they just read or a scripture they just read. So share a little bit more about that.
Well, again, I give credit to Jenny Oliveri, who is our graphic designer. And she said, I think it would be nice to be able to write. And as you said, journal some of your thoughts. So we have a prayer tracker. Each of my different devotionals is shared. We don't even refer to them as musings in the book other than the introduction, but something related to, again, an experience that I had or something that I think is pithy from scripture to be relevant to our day and age. And then we talk about faith in flight, which is kind of pulling back in a crystallized context of what that devotional is all about. We have something that's very unique, I think, called Intel Drop. And our silhouette just within the title of that very brief paragraph is a C-130, because for many years I was a C-130 pilot and dropped things out the back end, people and supplies. And so we're dropping little nuggets of facts cool. and information from scripture or just from other things that kind of enhance. And then in the middle, again, a prayer tracker, because we provide a prayer that is suggested, but obviously I think from our own heart, we pray best sometimes using scripture to pray back to the Lord, but to share what is our heart concern, the overflow of our heart. Not only our mouth speaks, but in our prayers, our soul connects with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And so rather than just using our recommended prayer, we encourage people to record their own prayer, their own response or reflection on the devotional. And I think over time, as they review those, they will find that the Lord really did bring them to higher or newer heights as on eagle's wings.
That's awesome. And this also confirms that you work with some really good people there at Lamb and Lion.
Yeah, well, I certainly do. Yes, sir. And very talented. I always have encouraged, use your gifts and talents as the Lord directs. And we've had a whole lot of innovation and just new creative ideas. And this is one of them.
That's awesome. So, Tim, is this available now, or is it pre-order, or when is it released, or was it released?
No, it is available now. Oh, we've awesome. Actually not done a major promotion yet, so I appreciate you mentioning it. It has been awesome. Released, but we will be doing a television program ourselves on our Christ in Prophecy television show coming up in the next several weeks. And really realizing that probably as gifts for young people graduating, I think it gives some perspective. Oftentimes you think, what do I give a young person that I can pass along? Or for Father's Day, Mother's Day coming up. But we realize that this spring we are in need, and I think many in the church, of the encouragement and keeping our eyes focused on our blessed hope. And it's not hope and hope, as I like to say. It's not an Oprah Winfrey kind of hope. Our hope is in the sureness of Christ, in his return, and in our upward call home one of these days, soon and very soon.
So I was intrigued by your February edition of Lamplighter, Lamb and Lion publication. And the reason is the church age, God's strategic pause. I thought that was an interesting wording to put on the bottom there, God's strategic pause. So, Tim, let's first just walk through this and break down what is the church age, because we have a lot of newer viewers and listeners and some maybe younger Christians. I mean, praise God. But when they hear things like the church age, they're not sure are we talking end times? Are we talking Book of Revelation? Are we talking what we're living in now today? Could you walk us through that and start there, please?
Well, I guess the answer to those three questions would be yes. In a sense, we're talking all those things, what we're living in now, something pointing to Revelation and the end times. So the reason we use the phrase God's strategic pause is if you look at history as a flow of a narrative, God's story, his story is human history. And yet so much of what scripture focuses on is God's interaction with Israel and how he demonstrates his faithfulness, his providence, and his provision to this chosen people in spite of themselves. And I've heard people say, and not to go down a rabbit trail too far yet, but I've heard people say, well, why does God still hold out any kind of promise to the Jews? They haven't behaved in a way always that would deserve it. And my answer is, you're right. Neither have I. I don't deserve God's grace. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is faithful to those who trust in him, and he's always faithful to his promises. Every promise, all of his prophetic promises. And so he's given promises to you and me, David, as followers of Christ, but he's given promises to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So in that arc of narrative, the church in a perspective is a pause in God's plan that is still unfolding for the Jewish people and how he will be glorified through them. Yet again, he's being so today, but we have the great blessing of being grafted into this family that God chose and called his own. And so, yes, it's a 2,000-year pause, and we live in the immediacy of the moment so much that sometimes it's hard to understand, well, there was a before and there will be an after. But yeah. Here again, yeah. If you go on eagle's wings to a higher perspective, you begin to understand that, okay, I can see past and present. I liken it to this. If I'm driving down the highway, I cannot see what's around the next curve. There's a huge traffic jam that I'm about to encounter 5 or 10 minutes from now. I can't see what happened 30 miles back because, again, that's in the rearview mirror. It's already gone past. But if you go to 30,000 feet, brother, I can look down on Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Chicago simultaneous. And if I had good enough vision from that altitude, I could see every traffic scenario that the drivers themselves would not realize because they're living just in that small window of space and time. Well, God's perspective is so far above ours. He sees the beginning from the end, and he knows what his plans are for you and for me and for Israel. And so the church, as Paul describes in the book of Romans, was his endeavor to share the gospel with the entire world. It's made up of Christians and Jews, Jews first, and then the Gentile. I say Christian Jews. It's made up of Gentiles and Jews. But Jews first, and yet there is still a plan and provision for the house of Israel. I use an Ezekiel 36 term there. And so, yes, we have the great joy of being in the body of Christ, the church, but there's more coming because God will fulfill every promise he's made to the Jewish people, just as he is to you and to me.
Yeah, I think we need to get back to that, that God will fulfill every promise he made, not only to the church, but to the Jewish people, because there's a lot of confusion, and maybe you might want to say delusion too today, even in the church, Tim, and you're very aware of that, what's happening in the church, not just people that are biblically illiterate, but in the church in America, there's some confusion over whether we should support Israel and God's people, God's chosen people. What are these promises? And there's a lot of confusion maybe about Romans 9 to 11, which is a very important passage of scripture to really walk through and study. Do you want to comment on that before we go on?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. There is much confusion, much delusion, and I'll even call it scripturally, much deception. Yes. Satan is a great propagandist, and so he uses all sorts of different tools to lead, if possible, even the elect astray. And when it comes to an attitude toward Israel, there has been a great deception. Now, even as I use the term Israel, just to unpack very briefly, am I talking about the land? Am I talking about the nation, that writ large has been in existence since the days of Abraham? Am I talking about the modern nation state that calls itself Israel? Or am I talking about the people group? And the answer is yes. It's all those things. And so we can become confused. Do we have to agree with everything the nation state of Israel does? The answer is no. Goodness, I don't agree with everything our government does. And yet I'm an American and consider myself blessed to have been born in this land. But I still am commanded in scripture to bless the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this people group. And again, back to Ezekiel 36, the house of Israel. And I'm not part of that house as far as a genetic descendant. I have been grafted in, as Paul says in Romans 9 through 11. And there's great blessing in that, but I'm still called to bless Israel. And so a lot of Christians are confused because they have been deceived. Satan is essentially asking in our modern era, did God really say to bless the people of Israel? And as soon as he plants that seed of doubt, then he comes back and said, God lied. He did not mean those promises. They are null and void. And if we begin to believe that, then we've eroded the veracity of God and we have diminished his faithfulness. And that's exactly what Ezekiel says. God is not going to be faithful to his promises to Israel because they deserve it. No, he's going to be faithful because that's who he is. And he cannot violate his own character. And that gives me great assurance as a Gentile follower of Christ, because it lets me know that he will not violate any promise given to me. And so to me, it all goes hand in glove with trusting God and what he has revealed about himself and about his plan for the ages.
Yeah, if you use that terminology, we don't deserve the promises that God has for us, you know, individually. So we're going to get back to the church age in a minute, but I think we're on a very important topic, because I think some of our viewers and listeners need to understand, maybe they've been brought up in scripture, maybe they've been to good Bible studies, maybe they have a good pastor at their church, and they don't understand how people are falling for this delusion. Tim, did it, and you would think since October 7, 2023, there would be a little bit more, I don't know, I don't want to say sympathy, but support for these people that were demonically attacked. And yet, it seems like the pendulum has swung the other way, even in the church where there's people that aren't supporting them and thinking they are occupying a land that's not theirs. And so, oh my goodness, there's so much to unpack, isn't there?
There really is. And you think, how can people be so deluded, especially those who love the Lord? And I trust that if a person is a genuine Christ follower, they love the Lord. But that does not mean that we are not susceptible at times to deception. I use a famous incident from scripture itself. In Matthew chapter 16, Peter is the first of the disciples to confess Christ. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Well, good on you, Peter, but really, even the credit for your recognition is to God the Father. He has revealed this to you." And you have to think that Peter felt pretty good about, you know, getting a gold star or a smiley face on his report card that day. But just a few verses later, Peter becomes a mouthpiece of Satan when Christ, having revealed what the plan of the Father is, that he should die, Peter pulls him aside and rebukes him and says, "No, Lord, this will not happen to you." And Jesus' response is telling, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Even this man who was so impulsive and confessed Jesus as the Christ, a handful of verses later, is being a conduit of satanic misleading or deception. And I think in that moment, Jesus heard the same lie that was perpetrated in the garden. "You will not die" was a direct refutation of what Christ had revealed as being the will and the promise of the Father. And so if we're not careful, we too can be deceived. You know, back in my past, David, I was a training interrogator for the Air Force, training young airmen, typically officers in general, but airmen who might become POWs, how to avoid propaganda and how to avoid being interrogated and revealing certain secrets. Wow. But we use different ploys to try to deceive them. And I just witness what is happening in our world today. And I realize that the propaganda is rampant. And if we're not guarded and guarding our hearts, we as Christians can believe the propaganda and become unwitting, and I'll emphasize that, unwitting mouthpieces of what Satan would like to perpetrate as a real satanic deception.
Yes, I think that you're right on unwitting mouthpieces, exactly what some people have become. And so I'm looking at the demonic aspect, the spiritual warfare behind this, because the devil hates Israel. The devil hates the Jews. The devil hates Christians. So there's this the spiritual warfare. So that angle underlying what all is going down. But also now come back to the church in America, and we've got the biblical illiteracy in the church. And so that's almost like a double-edged sword that's not just not going to end well. So we really have to be better students of the Bible. We need to know Bible prophecy. We need to know how to explain why. You mentioned the land, the nation, and the people of Israel, how we can, as Bible-believing Christians, support all three. And then almost every guest, when we bring up this topic, makes the distinction, I do not support everything the government does, just like our own government. And I agree with that. I think some people want to put us all, meaning Protestants or evangelical Christians, in one basket and say, we support Israel no matter what they do. No, it's not a blind support. It is a biblical support. It's through the biblical worldview, through the Old Testament and the promises, the everlasting covenant. And we do support the people. But let's talk about the land, Tim. Because I think that's okay. Where a lot of the propaganda gets out there. It's stolen land. It wasn't their land. And then I don't know how they think what happened in 1948, you know. But some people think, well, it wasn't their land. So can you walk us through a little bit of that, please?
I sure can. And let's face it, David, the program title of your program, you know, A Biblical Worldview. They used to have a commercial that said, what's in your wallet? Talking about a credit card. My question for anybody is, what's in your worldview, or what is it based on? Is it based on what the world has told you to believe, or is it based on the Word of God? I've decided, and again, this is an act of the will, that I will choose to trust God and reject everything else that is contrary to His revealed Word, because He has proven Himself trustworthy to me and throughout history. So all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, something that infamously, when Tucker Carlson was interviewing Senator Ted Cruz, he couldn't cite the chapter and verse. Well, it's Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, where God promises to bless Abraham and later his descendants. And for those who would bless him and his descendants, they would receive a blessing. Those who would curse him would receive a curse. And then he promised him a land. He titled it over to Abraham without even expecting anything of Abraham. As a matter of fact, this covenant was established while Abraham was asleep. The same covenant was reiterated to Abraham's son Isaac and to his grandson Jacob, later called Israel. The Lord gave him that name. And so that is a covenant that's never been broken. Now, has Israel always had full possession of the land? No. Just like the analogy is used, if I said to my son, here's a car, it's titled in your name, but you can only drive it if you obey the rules in my house, there might be a time when he is on foot again without the blessing of the car, but it's still his. It's titled over to him. And so that has happened in history, and the Jewish people have streamed home. I've cited Ezekiel 36. I had a young pastor one time who said, Tim, I just think that God's promises to the Jews are null and void. And he was a replacement theologian, very clearly. And I said, well, let's read Ezekiel 36, where the Lord promises to the mountains of Israel. This is a promise made to inanimate objects, to geography. And he says, you will once again be inhabited after you have been desolated, and my sons and daughters will come home to you, because they will feel a pull and a yearn in their heart. And I read through the rest of that chapter, which uses the phrase, the house of Israel. And I asked this young pastor, obviously a Gentile, do you feel impelled to go and live on the mountains of Israel? And he said, no. I said, that's because you're a Gentile. But God has placed it deep in the heart of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Every year at the end of their Passover Seder, they say, next year in Jerusalem. So even as they were living very comfortably in places like Germany and Poland 100 years ago, the Lord was already working out His plan to motivate the Jews to go home. I dare say even some of the horrific things we're witnessing in our own country, in the highest concentration of Jews outside of Israel, let's use the example, New York City, the Lord may be orchestrating a motivation for even those Jews to go home to Israel. God's plans and His ways are far higher than our own. But David, we have the blessing of living in such a time as this to see with greater and greater hindsight what God has done, what He is doing, and to be confident that His prophesied promises will be fulfilled in their entirety.
Amen, brother. Amen. One more scripture I want to point to. We're running out of time. It went by so fast with you, Tim. back to the Lamplighter magazine on page 11, I believe, and it's 2 Peter 1:19 is quoted. You've got to read that in context, friends, 1:19 through 21. But I want to quote this because a lot of people, I mean, if back then during the Apostle Paul's day, they were saying soon, you know, it says, well, we may see other prophesied events take place if Jesus tarries. The next major event on the timeline of end times events is the rapture itself. That glorious gathering of all the church age saints is something that the apostles anticipated even in their day because they knew that Jesus' return would be imminent. And could be soon, from an eternal perspective, they were highly motivated to endure any hardship and share the gospel. So, Tim Moore, I want to be about redeeming the time and having a sense of urgency, which I don't think the church today has. How can we be better in that respect?
I think we apply the full counsel of the Word of God. We don't exclude the beginning and the end because, you know, they're hard to grapple with or grasp. We take God at his word. And when he says, hey, Jesus is coming again, when Jesus says in last chapter of scripture, I'm coming soon. Yes, I'm coming soon. I am coming soon. We take him at his word. And soon, you said 2,000 years. Well, let's face it, David, when we've been in heaven, gathered around the throne of God for a billion, trillion years, 2,000 will seem like the blink of an eye. It's all a matter of our perspective. And so in addition to having a biblical worldview, perhaps what we need is a heaven view. In other words, to align our perspective with that of God. I used the phrase a God's eye perspective earlier. Maybe we need to see things not just from plodding along in this life and in this world, but from a heaven's eye perspective. And then we would understand that even what seems to be taking so long, boy, I wish the Lord had already come, sort of. But and when I say that, I do wish he would come soon, but I'm glad he doesn't come on my timeline. I'm glad he, in his divine plan, gives opportunity for everyone to come to faith in Christ. I know your viewers are likely followers of Christ, but if anyone is not, today is the day of salvation. And really, ongoingly, your program helps direct them to a biblical worldview, and I dare say again, a heavenly worldview.
Yes, and what you guys do at Christ and Prophecy, Lamb and Lion, take it up a notch when it comes to Bible prophecy and all that you guys cover. I want to mention ChristInProphecy.org, Tim's devotional and journal at, you can go to Lamb Lion Resources or ChristInProphecy.org, and that's a phenomenal devotional you guys can get. High Flight on Eagles. Wings on wings as eagles. Brother, thanks for your time. It went by very, very fast. I appreciate all you do.
Godspeed, David, to you and your viewers.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. And as always, friends, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.